Our scripture this morning is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Father, we come this morning to worship you and to praise you for your goodness, your compassion, your mercy, your sovereignty, your power, and your grace. And so we would ask this morning that our worship would honor you and bless you, and that now you would speak to us through your word. Father, would you continue to transform us more and more into the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus. And we pray that you would get all the glory. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're continuing a series this summer called Between Two Worlds, where we're trying to wrestle with these two different perspectives. We have the world that we live in that has a perspective of how to live life. And so how do we as Christians deal with that, live within that, and come under that at some level? But then we're followers of Christ, and so we live in the kingdom of God in that world. And how do we live like God wants us to live, yet still live in the world? And so we're living in between these two worlds, and we're trying to figure out a little bit how to do that and how to do that together. And this morning we're talking about parenting. How do we raise our children to love and serve the Lord Jesus? I want to start by giving you a number, 18,980. Any guesses? Think in your head. 18,980. This is my estimate of my own calculations along with national surveys of how many diapers have been changed in my family the last 14 years. 18,980. You would think that alone would qualify me to speak on parenting, wouldn't you? It's a lot. Now, some of those diapers recently, our older daughters have chipped in and helped, so not just Lisa and I. So we have five children. We've read parenting books. We even went to the adult education class on parenting this last fall, but I am still no expert. I still really am desperately wanting help, and there's lots of great resources out there. This is one that's fantastic by Paul Tripp called Parenting. Amazing, right? What a great title. I love that book because he deals at a principle level and not just practical. He's not dealing with every single issue that every parent will come across, but he's trying to build this foundation from the scriptures to help us parent well. But even though we have all these resources, I still don't feel like I have the answers. And I really just wish there was a formula. Don't you? Plug and play. A plus B leads to perfect child. That would be so nice if somewhere God would have just laid that out for us, right? But it's a struggle. We can't just plug and play and make this thing happen. It's a struggle to know what to do. How do I love them well? How do I point them to Jesus? When do I step in? When do I not step in? I mean, I struggle so much based on my own insecurity, my own lack of wisdom, even my failures as a parent. But also we experience pressure from outside forces on us as we try to raise our children. One is from the world in which we live. And the world has a perspective about children and how to raise children. And it varies, but one prominent perspective right now, especially in the area of sexuality, is that we see the world telling us that the child determines their own needs. The child is in charge of their own identity, their own wants. And the job of the parent is just to give the child whatever the child wants. That's what it means to be a good parent. So we live in a world that's telling us to do that with our children. Is that the right decision? At the same time, some views of the world really just look at children as a bother, as an inconvenience, a disruption in my life. And my goal is just to deal with them long enough to get them out so I can do me again. That can be a view. And so we can be influenced by that. But let's be honest, there's sometimes pressure within the body of Christ, isn't there? That sometimes we think we've got it down and we can hear from each other, this is exactly how you raise this child. If you just do it this way, your child will be okay. And the reason why they're having problems is because you're not doing it perfectly well. And I've got the answer for you. I mean, we can do that, can't we? We can feel that way towards each other at times. So there can be this pressure internally within the church even, that we want our kids to match this image of what it means to be a good Christian. Because if our kids are doing well, people think we're doing well. And we want to put that image across, right? Our kids need to be well-behaved, kind, generous, helpful, respectful, and most importantly, obedient all the time. That's what we need, right? We want that for our kids. So sometimes we even show up here on Sunday looking that part, even though maybe the drive here was the worst part of the week. But we walk in the doors, oh, it's great. Right? Because there's this pressure to look a certain way. And even this can even lead to us judging one another based on how our kids are doing. But parenting is hard enough without the perspectives outside of us pushing us, trying to get us to adapt to a certain way to do it, because there is no formula. There is no formula for parenting. We even can look to Scripture as our hope for that. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, I read that and I think that's great, but first, how do I know that I'm training up my child in the way that he should go or she should go? How do I know I'm doing that right? And if I say I'm doing that right, it seems a little arrogant that I figured it out, that I've got it perfectly down. Well, and secondly, I don't think the writer of Proverbs, especially that one, is meaning it as this complete and ultimate promise. I mean, just think about the Scriptures. Think about the kings. In the Old Testament, we had great kings, godly kings, who feared the Lord. And then their son who took over was wretched and wicked. So it doesn't always work out that way. Now, of course, principally, if we train a child in the ways of the Lord, then yes, it seems most often they will stay with the Lord. But that is not always the case. And so how do we parent in the midst of that? How do we parent with these pressures and the reality of all the things that Scripture teaches us to raise our kids the right way? How do we do that? Well, I think we need to look to our Heavenly Father and how He, after saving us from our sin, how He fathers us, how He parents us in our life. And so my hope this morning is that we will see the application of the gospel in being a parent, and that we will leave completely dependent on the Lord and His Word to raise our children, trusting Him that they will become disciples of Jesus. That's why I chose Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10, not your normal parenting verse. But I chose that because I think we need to remember that we have been saved by grace through faith and not by works. That we needed God to open our blind eyes, draw us to Himself, and save us from our sins, and then through His Spirit to make us more and more into the image of Jesus. Why is that important? First, I think it's important to remember, because it's true of our children, they need the Lord to save them. Our good parenting will not save our children from their sins. And at the same time, our bad parenting, our failures, will not necessarily keep them from being saved. God is the author of salvation, and they need the grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, as we remember our own salvation by grace, that undeserved gift of salvation, I think it will change how we parent our children, and we will seek to pour out grace to them as God did to us. See, we are unable to give our children what we ourselves don't have. And if we want our children to follow the Lord Jesus and experience His goodness, then we need to be parents that are gospel-centered, full of truth and grace, washing ourselves in the Word of God. Then we have something to offer. So this morning, what I want to do is to present four perspectives on parenting. There's no way we could go through every possible situation that you've dealt with or could deal with your children. There's just no way. And so we need to look at what do the scriptures teach principally about our relationship to our Father? How do we apply that to parenting? And so hopefully this will help us take all those foundational principles and apply them in situations with the help of other people. So children, if you're here, let me invite you in. Later, talk to your parents about this. It's a little scary invitation, isn't it? Parents, ask them, how am I doing? How are we doing? Perhaps you'll learn some amazing things about how your parenting is going. Now, before we get into these perspectives, I just want to say, if you do not have children because either you are unable to have children or that you've lost a child through miscarriage or death, that I understand this is painful. And I'm very sorry for the pain that you have experienced or are experiencing. And my prayer for you as we deal with topics like this, that you would find your fullness of joy in Christ, even in the midst of the unfulfilled desire or the pain of loss. But for those of you in the room that don't have children, either your children are grown and out of the house, you're kind of through that part of the parenting phase, or you're yet to have children, let me encourage you that every parent in this room needs your help. Parents, this is where you amen. Yeah, yes, right? We need your help. Parenting is not a two-person sport. It is not meant to be just a mother and a father or sometimes a single parent trying to raise kids. It is meant to be done within the body of Christ. And so we need help. There's things that you can offer to parents as they are on the journey of raising disciples of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's just an encouraging word. Maybe it's an offer to come to the house and help in some way. Maybe it's serving within the nursery or the children's Sunday school so parents can have a respite on a Sunday morning from watching children. Providing meals for new moms, of moms of newborns. Praying. There's lots of ways that you can encourage. Even if we don't ask, we need help. So please help us. So four perspectives as I thought about this. First, there's this perspective that children are a delight versus they're an interruption or inconvenience. And so the question to ask ourselves is, do we really delight in our children? And I don't mean publicly when we're putting on a good show. I mean really in our hearts, behind closed doors. Do we delight in our children? Or do we see them as an interruption to our own life and the things that I need to get done? I know it's true of me. I have important things that I'm supposed to do. Even ministry I'm supposed to do. And I often just think, I just need my kids to wait until I'm done with my thing. I mean, whatever's on my phone is more important. Whatever emails I have, it's more important. Whatever project I'm working on, that is what takes priority. Now, of course, we have responsibility and we can help our children understand that. But what does that teach my child? Well, how am I viewing them? Being in campus ministry, I'm meeting with students a lot, college students, and I try to always teach them whenever Lisa calls me or texts me, I answer. And I always tell them, always answer the phone for your wife. Because I want them to understand, you're not my priority. My wife is. You will graduate. You may move on, but my wife is my wife. And now I have children that can text and call me. Always answer the phone. Now, of course, there are situations where that may not happen, but it's an effort for me to show that I value them and I delight in them and I want to hear from them. Maybe even in your hobbies, your me time. If your child wants to join you, do you view that as a chore or an opportunity? See, all of this reveals in our own hearts how we view our kids. As I was processing this thinking, I was thinking about how the Lord delights in us and Two different stories came to mind, two different scriptures, both in Luke. Luke 18 is the widow who needs justice. And she goes to the judge and she hounds him day and night for justice. And finally, the judge gives in and gives her what she needs, brings justice. But then listen to what Jesus says at the end of that story. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Would you ever offer that to your child? Hound me, pester me, come to me day and night for what is good, for justice. But God invites us in to cry to him day and night because he loves us and he delights when we come to him because we're saying we trust you. You're the one who can provide. It's a beautiful aspect of the relationship. We're in Luke 11. When Jesus says, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, gives him a scorpion? Don't you love cultural context in the scriptures? Like, when has a child ever asked for a fish? I've never had that in any of my children, but it's just a different time, right? It's interesting. But who does that? And Jesus says at the end of this, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more? Because he delights in us to give us good, that's important, good gifts. And so as we delight in our children, we will seek to draw them in, to bring them close and give them good gifts that will help them. So we have to ask, is our job, our ministry, our hobby, maybe even your dream for your child's future, more important than your child? Are you willing to be interrupted by your child so that you can delight in them and they can experience the joy of being with you? Jobs can come and go. Ministry can be done by someone else, but my children will always be my children. And I want to delight in them as the Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father delights in me. Perspective two, heart change versus behavior modification. One of the greatest tactics of parenting is to create rules, right? We create rules to follow. And if everybody just follows the rules, then everything's okay in the house. Then we're all good, right? Just follow the rules. But we have to ask, are the rules that we've created, although rules are for safety and well-being, but are the rules actually dealing with the heart of the child? During the parenting class in the fall, someone said, rules without relationship leads to rebellion. Rules and standards are good, but they don't change us. We learn that in Romans, that God's law, what God's law does is it exposes our sin. It shows us that we are sinful and rebellious and that we need a Savior. And so we need to be careful about how we implement rules and standards. Really, we need to be parents. We need to be a church that seeks after the heart, not just outward compliance. But it takes an incredible amount of work. Lisa and I have learned that most recently because of our youngest. He's different than our other four. Our other four basically did everything we told them to do. They were great. They're fairly obedient, well-behaved, polite, respectful. And lots of people would tell us, your kids are just so great. And outwardly, I'd say, well, I'm just, thank you so much. The Lord is good. You know, inwardly, I'd think, I know they're good. You know why they're good? Because I'm a good parent. I mean, honestly, that's what I would think inside, right? Because I'm doing something right. That's why they're doing so well. Look at me, right? I mean, that's the sinfulness in my own heart. I love this outward appearance, and that's what was so valuable to me. But I miss the heart at some level. And so here comes our youngest. And he doesn't view the world the same way as the others. He doesn't respond the same way as the others. And our efforts to conform him to rules and standards just don't seem to work. So Lisa and I have had to do the hard work of basically turning 180 degrees and parenting completely different almost than we did before. I don't want to do that. That's hard work. We're still a long way to go. But when we realized with the Lord's help through other people that we needed to change, we're the ones that needed to change, man, things have been drastically different. So much better than they were before. Because we're starting to realize he's got these issues in his heart. And how do we get there? Julie Lowe from CCEF said this, that children are born with hearts that are wooed by their own desires. And they exercise volition to choose for themselves the type of person they will become. They're wooed by their own desires at a heart level. And so our goal is not just to create an outwardly compliant child, but a child who will be obedient out of a desire of their heart. It's so hard because we can't do that from the couch. I can't do that yelling out the window in the front yard. I need to get up and I need to engage and trust the Lord to help me to discover what's going on in their heart. And when we do that, I think we'll realize that they aren't always just being rebellious. Maybe they actually have a problem that they just can't solve. They don't know what to do. And we're trying to get them to do something, but we haven't dealt with the heart issue. Or maybe it's really just a character flaw. Lots of character flaws, right? But that's what's preventing them from making good decisions. And instead of trying to force them, we need to help grow that in their life. How do we do that? That's all an issue of the heart. So if we miss the heart, we really won't be helping them solve the problems in their life. We really won't help them see the change that's needed. So what can we be doing to seek after our child's heart? One tip, don't do it in the heat of the battle. Don't do it in the tantrum or the fight or the whatever is going on. I mean, think about Ephesians 6:4 when Paul tells fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Well, when you try to go after it in the heat of the moment, it just seems the anger grows. And so pause and wait and then sit down and have a conversation that seeks after the heart. One other tip in this is I would encourage you as parents to point them to Jesus. But don't just tell them that they need Jesus to change them. Tell them that you need Jesus to keep changing you and that you're both in a process of this. Third perspective, discipline versus punishment. How do we handle their sin and their wrongdoing? One choice is to punish. Implement a penalty for a wrongdoing, which often leads to isolation. Go to your room. Go do this by yourself. Simply put, do something bad, you pay a price. That's a great tactic of parents because it's a quick fix, isn't it? It kind of solves the problem right now. But it doesn't address anything in the heart. And it doesn't line up with how God parents us. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12, 7 through 11. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to show to those who have been trained by it. God disciplines us. He disciplines us when we wander, when we sin, because he loves us. Because he loves us. If he did not discipline, the scriptures tell us we would be illegitimate children. We wouldn't be sons or daughters of God. But because we are, he disciplines us. And why? Out of his love, but he does it to train us for righteousness. Just look through the scriptures at Israel and anybody who wandered or rebelled against him. He disciplined them in order that they would come back to him and be found in fellowship with him and to be trained in righteousness. He doesn't just punish and move away. Go away and think about it. No, he disciplines to draw us back in to relationship with him. It's not just to make life easier or to get us to cause less trouble, but it's to train us for righteousness, which is for our good. And so the hard work of discipline as a parent is to train our children to produce something different in them than previously existed, to produce some holiness and righteousness through the Lord's help. And so we have to ask, are we punishing our children or are we disciplining them? Are we disciplining them seeking the heart change that will train them in righteousness? See, punishing and putting in isolation, removing them from relationship, I don't think that's the most helpful. There's ways that we can discipline that they can grow at a character level. We need the Lord's help to be able to do that. But it will produce the fruit of righteousness. Finally, perspective four, hope versus fear. Parenting is hard. Difficult. And the world around us presents so many dangers, pitfalls that our children could fall into instead of walking with the Lord. And so we could have this tendency as parents to live in fear and try to keep our kids away from any potential danger. I mean, will they understand how to live righteously? Will they make good decisions as they become teenagers? As they go to college, as they get married, as they start careers and have families? So we can fear, we can try to control everything about our child to protect them. I mean, but we can also fear what others think, right? What are others saying about me? Because great kids means I'm a great Christian, and so I need to play this game. I'm fearful of what people will think about me. So we need to be a people in this idea of raising our kids that we don't judge one another in our parenting efforts. But we help one another. We encourage one another to pursue Christ and to help our children see the beauty of our Savior. And just like we have a need for Jesus, to help them see their need for Jesus. Our ultimate goal in parenting is to make disciples of Jesus Christ who will bring glory to God by helping to reach the nations with the gospel in whatever God calls them to do. And we need to not be a people that live in fear of the potential dangers. We need to be a people that live in hope that our Heavenly Father is with us and He will provide for us. Listen to the scriptures. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? This is a promise for the children of God that their Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, will provide for us. This is not a guarantee that our children will become children of God, that they will choose to follow God and trust in Jesus. We have to seek God on their behalf. We have to trust that God will draw them to Himself. But when we look at parenting and how do we do this as individual parents, but as a body, we need to look to our Heavenly Father with hope that He will graciously give us all things. He will help us. And then, as He helps us, we can point them to our wonderful and glorious Heavenly Father. That if they choose to follow Him and we trust that they will believe in Jesus for their sins, that God will father them better than we could ever imagine to do. Remember, we cannot give our children what we don't have. And so we sit under the parenting of our Heavenly Father. And we preach the gospel to ourselves, washing ourselves in the Word, to be reminded of how much God delights in us. So that we too can delight in our children. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves to remind ourselves that He is transforming our hearts so that we can help our children experience heart change and transformation through Christ. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves to continually be reminded that God is going to discipline us, to train us in righteousness so that we can, in the same way, seek to discipline our children, to train them in righteousness. And we need to preach the gospel to ourselves because He is our hope. No matter what life brings, especially in parenting, no matter what life brings, we can hold fast to our Heavenly Father because nothing can snatch us out of His hand. When we know our Heavenly Father like that, then we have something to offer to our children. And we can parent them in the way that God takes care of us and parents us. But we need to do it together. We need to do it together, and we need to trust the Lord that He will raise up the next generation for His church, who will follow Him, who will give Him glory and praise with their lives. Will He not also graciously give us all things? Let's pray. Father, we love You. We praise You for how good You are, that You provided for us salvation in Jesus. And then You said You would continue to graciously give us everything we need. Father, we need Your help to parent. We want to be parents in a church that delights in our kids, that goes after the heart, that disciplines well, and points them to the hope that we have in Christ, that no matter what happens, nothing can separate us from the love of our Father and Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank You that You will help us raise our kids to know and love and serve the Lord Jesus. We pray this in His name. Amen.